Hi, I'm George Bloom, and welcome to the Maximum Security Democracy Podcast. Got a pretty good show planned for you today. I'm going to start out with a little bit of discussion about the neoconservative movement and how the Republican Party has changed over time. So, listen on in. If you want to find some resources related to this podcast, please visit my blog at MaximumSecurityDemocracy.blogspot.com. And if you like the content of this podcast, please visit my blog, and you can also visit the actual podcast feed at GeorgeBloom.Podomatic.com, and I've got some political cartoons that I make, and I also post those. I usually post one with each podcast, and I also have them on my blog. You might get a kick out of them. I'm going to talk a little bit about how conservatism has steadily been changing over the past decade or so, from what it used to stand for to sort of a new thing that it stands for now. It used to be that the Republican Party really stood for fiscal restraint and small government. And as we now see with the Bush administration and the neoconservative movement, that the Republicans of that movement now want low taxes, which the Republicans have always been in line with, and big government. And what you end up with is a cut-and-spend policy, which is a stark contrast to the Democrat approach, which has always been tax and spend. Now you have something that's even far worse, cut-and-spend. So that's one area where the Republican Party has changed over time. Another area is Republicans have sort of traditionally been in line with civil rights. They've always been in line with people's right to bear arms, which almost seems to be a stark contrast to the Bush administration's sort of assault on civil rights now. And I'm really surprised that they still bought back guns as far as personal ownership of guns and the right to bear arms and all that, because with the Patriot Act and all these other laws and ways of interpreting laws that the Bush administration has sort of installed, that the government now doesn't respect people's personal rights and privacy with their spy programs and the political pressure for prosecuting and holding people without due process. It seems that this sort of support of the NRA and all that sort of doesn't go along with that philosophy anymore, and it almost seems outdated for them, other than to get a few extra votes. But so the spending issues that used to be central to the Republican Party, now that they're more like Democrats as far as spending money and having big government. Big government has grown the most it's ever grown under the Bush administration. So we've got big government, we've got lots of tax cuts, we've got big, huge spending, and it all adds up to a failed policy. It all adds up to a policy that is going to cripple us. You know, the United States is really bankrupt in a lot of ways. Our national debt is astronomical. And this is a time when we should be addressing our spending issues, because Social Security, we're going to have to borrow trillions of dollars if we're going to maintain Social Security the way it is. Or we may as well just get it over with. We may as well just raise retirement age to 75 or 80 years old, because that's really the only other option we have. other than borrowing $1 trillion, or however much it's going to take. And it will take three times as much as people think it will take to fix that problem. So, but, you know, that's, you just, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too, but I guess the Republican Party seems to think that, finally, I'm glad that the American people finally took back some control of Congress with the Democratic Party. I'm not completely happy with everything the Democratic Party has been doing, especially Nancy Pelosi's visit to Syria, which is completely, I don't know what she was thinking. It's out of her mind. But at least they're starting to challenge this sort of Republican power grab that has been going on. And it also sort of, the momentum behind all this Republican stuff has been started really with talk radio. And the sort of blind support for whatever it is that the Republicans do in office, right or wrong, they just blindly support it and put everything that they have behind it. And then the Bush administration has taken it a step further to sort of try and consolidate and keep this sort of momentum going where, okay, if we can spy on people, we can limit down rights, we can get this sort of talk radio and even on the television now, all of this sort of propaganda that supports the Republican sort of point of view as being unchallengeable and right, that, you know, with Karl Rove being sort of the mastermind behind all the PR campaign, that they could keep this sort of power structure going perpetually. And that it's all sort of based on the notion that the average American citizen is really too dumb to see through the lie after lie after lie after lie that is being told by the Bush administration, the Republican media, and Republican news outlets that, you know, sort of just justify whatever it is that, you know, the Republicans are doing at a particular time by attacking everyone else as being wrong or being extreme. But I guess the average American isn't as dumb as they seem to think he or she is. And that was clearly demonstrated in the last round of elections when the Democrats took over. And another sort of main component of how this sort of neoconservative movement operates is it operates from a point of pure arrogance. You know, they seem to think that they're on such a high pedestal that, you know, if they want something, it doesn't matter if they have to, if they create a web of lies to support it, as long as they get their end result, because they believe that they are right, no matter what. So when Bush wanted to sell this war in Iraq, he put the machine in motion that found ways to lie, ways to justify, and just shoved it down the American throat through the media, which ate it right up, and their talk radio constituents who supported it wholeheartedly and attacked anybody who criticized it as being unpatriotic and all this and all that. But you really have to be pretty arrogant to think that. I mean, think about the sort of spokespeople for the conservative movement right now, like Rush Limbaugh, "Hi, I'm second to God, and I'm sort of like the spokesperson for God." I mean, that's the kind of arrogance that this guy speaks under. And Mr. I Love Myself O'Reilly, and Sean Hannity, I mean, he's got an ego the size of Texas. And all of these guys are very, very arrogant people. You know, it doesn't surprise me, you know, that someone like Glenn Beck used to be an alcoholic, or that Rush Limbaugh was addicted to oxycodone, you know, because of their personalities, their addictive personalities. They're addicted to themselves, the power, and all that. It doesn't surprise me at all. But, you know, all these guys are very arrogant, and that's sort of almost like the foundation of this sort of new Republican movement that has really taken off and is now sort of starting to fall. Through the Senate last week was the FISA Amendment Act, and in that act is a provision to sort of forgive the companies that worked with the Bush administration to provide records such as AT&T and Verizon when they were asked to turn over confidential information. They agreed to do that without, you know, any court orders or any warrants of any kind. They cooperated and turned over that information. And the result being now that the Bush administration has come under fire for trying to get these records. These companies are at risk of lawsuits for turning over private information that they should not have turned over without a court order. So, you know, sort of on the surface, it sounds like, well, you know, these companies, they're not really responsible, and maybe we should protect them. But the problem is this: if we protect these companies with this bill, in the future, any company who wants to turn over personal information that needs to be protected to the government, without a search warrant, without any, you know, court claim to that information, is going to get a free ride. I think that's a mistake to do that. We can't allow these companies. Companies need to protect their customers. If they need to protect them from the government, it's sad that they need to do that because of the misuse of these new initiatives to snoop into people's lives, but it's the only way that if we protect these companies, they're just going to continue to cooperate and turn over documents that should not end up in the government's hands unless there is a legitimate, reviewed reason why those documents should go into the government's hands. In other words, a court order. That's what the court system is there for. That's why it's in place. This all kind of reminds me of Joe's Garage by Frank Zappa. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a great album, and it's about the revising of the United States Constitution like it's a document that, you know, has become obsolete and it needs to be revised. It seems like, you know, that's what the Bush administration's kind of doing now. I mean, everything's obsolete now. Since 9/11, our whole system is obsolete. Everything we've ever done before is obsolete and it needs to be revised. And civil rights, even if it's in the Constitution, it no longer matters anymore. And it's destroying a country. But there is somebody who is trying to do something about this FISA Act, and that's Senator Dodd, and I want to play you a little something from him.
Hold on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and I'm asking you to join me in that effort here. I don't believe it's right for telephone companies to be turning over the private telephone records of American citizens to the Bush administration without prior judicial approval. This is a basic fundamental right of privacy in our country, and I'm going to do everything I can to see to it that Congress strips this provision out of the bill. I will do everything I can, including filibustering this legislation if necessary. My hope is the hold will work, but if it doesn't, then I'm prepared to go to the floor of the United States Senate and filibuster this. I don't do that very often. Very, very rarely have I done it. But I cannot any longer tolerate this administration's drumbeat here to deprive us of basic rights in this nation here. This false dichotomy that we're only going to be safer if we give up our rights is something I cannot stand for any longer. I hope you'll join me in this effort by going to chrisdodd.com, my website here. If you want to co-sponsor the effort I'm making here, that would be a great help. Democrats need to understand we were given the power last fall to be in majority and control of the Congress. We can't be going along with these ideas. If the president believes that he wants to grant immunity, again, to a telephone company, that's his responsibility. I disagree with that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. But Congress of the United States ought not to be sanctioning that decision by including a provision like that in this legislation. So I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. I'll begin with a hold. If the hold doesn't work, then I'll go to the filibuster. But I need your help. I'm asking you to join me in this effort. If you care about our Constitution, if you understand that our rights ought not to be eroded, Sandra Day O'Connor said it right. Because we made this choice about war, it doesn't give the president a blank check to go out and rip apart our Constitution. That's what I'm standing for. I hope you'll join me in that effort.
Well, there you have it. At least somebody's standing up for our civil rights in Congress. I was beginning to think that there was nobody left to do that. Have to go back in time to find somebody who wants to stand up for our civil rights. The more I hear what Chris Dodd has to say, the more I'm finding that I'm agreeing with him. Across an article in the New York Times that was talking about Keith Olbermann and how his ratings have been going up as he's been taking on the Bush administration. It's nice to see somebody whose ratings are going up for taking on Bush rather than going up for kissing his ass like the rest of the radio talk show hosts out there. Anyways, that's nice to see that. Well, that pretty much winds it up for this podcast, and I will leave you with a check-in on the U.S. national debt counter, which is up to $9,114,538,489,349.07, growing at a rate of $1.49 billion per day. Well done, Congress.